I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage. You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, backstage at the Grand Ole Opry. We're hanging out with Carly Pearce today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This is the first time I've met you.
I know. I'm really excited. A little starstruck.
I am. Thank you.
I am.
It's very flattering. Very flattering. You look absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And I understand this is your favorite place to perform.
Yeah, absolutely, in the world.
So tell me why and how many times have you been here? How many times have you actually played the Opry?
I grew up loving the Opry. I'm originally from Kentucky, and my grandparents just instilled in me from a very young age what the Grand Ole Opry was. And to me, it is the heartbeat of country music, and anybody who's ever meant anything or had any kind of impact has played here. And this is, we're not really sure, but it's around my 65th time to play.
Holy cow. That's that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, to show up, you know, and play that much when you're not a member yet, I'll say yet, is a huge thing. And it shows, you know, that you really care about the tradition of country music and, you know, the history and what the Opry is all about. So kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you.
Just keep showing up. And your favorite performers here would be, like, how many people have you seen that really stand out where you've been on the side of the stage and just in awe of what you're seeing because you can't believe you're watching this person on the Opry?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think one of the biggest memories I have is the second time I ever played, we were told there was going to be a guest, but they wouldn't tell us who. And I was very new to the Opry and still terrified. And backstage, all of a sudden, I heard a knock on my door, and it was Garth, and then in popped Trisha, and I
they don't need last names.
No, right? I'm like, everybody knows. And I freaked out, and they were so kind to me, and then Garth accompanied Trisha singing She's in Love with a Boy, and that for me was like one of the best moments I've ever seen.
You know, it seems like yesterday to me that single came out. I remember watching CMT. I was renting a house in Donaldson with my first husband and working as a waitress, and that Trisha's video comes on CMT, and I was just mesmerized by her voice.
Wow.
And the song just goes on to be this huge hit, and she had many to follow it. But it seems like yesterday, you know, when you mentioned that song and mentioned them, it's hard to believe it's been that long.
Well, I'm like having a moment wishing that my mom was here, because our favorite song to drive around to was I Got Better Things to Do. So I'm just like, I hope that my mom listens to this.
I think I'm doing that tonight, actually.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
awesome.
I believe I am. Pretty sure. So you are engaged to fellow country star Michael Ray. Congratulations,
first of all.
When did you get engaged?
In December, on vacation.
Was it a Christmas present kind of
thing? It was a little pre-Christmas present, but it was the best Christmas present
ever. Were you in some place tropical and warm?
We were in Tulum.
Where's Tulum?
Outside of Cancun. You have to go. It's beautiful.
That doesn't sound awful.
It's not
sounds
good at all.
Like a great place to get engaged.
Yeah.
So one thing that you share together is your love for the Opry with Michael. He feels the same way about it. And have you two ever done a song here together?
Oh, yeah. That's like kind of my favorite thing to do now, is be able to share that love. I had never met anybody in my class of artists that really loved it the way that he did. And the first night that we ever hung out, he was telling me about his Opry debut, and it was actually on my birthday, which was weird. And we just love traditional country music, and so we've sang quite a few duets on the Opry stage.
That's amazing. And so I have a few notes here, and I didn't know that one of your earliest jobs was singing at Dollywood.
Yes.
So Dolly was a big influence.
Huge.
And you know, one of my favorite albums, and I'm seeing here that is one of yours too, is the Trio record with Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt.
Those memories is, just the whole thing. But yes, that song in particular.
I wore that out so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm touring with Susie Boggess and Pam Tillis, and we're doing a tour called Chicks with Hits right now, and we do a lot of harmony and a lot of three-part harmony, and we just keep referencing that album. That's they kind of set the standard.
Oh my gosh,
for female three-part harmony, didn't
absolutely
they?
Yeah. What three you couldn't get any bigger three powerhouses on their own, but then they just became this entity.
So you being from Kentucky must love Patti Loveless.
Huge. You don't even know who I am is probably my favorite female song ever.
You know, those songs, we just don't hear those types of things anymore. And
no, and just that tone, I don't know.
Oh,
she had this
soulful
richness. Yes, absolutely.
She's got a lot of soul, and I think coming from bluegrass and that world just puts her in a different realm. And she was an influence of mine too. Like she was out you know, several years before I came out with my first album. And I just, her and Pam and Susie and that whole class, yep. you know, big influences. You sang bluegrass too, and were influenced by Alison Krauss.
Yeah.
Have you met Alison?
I have.
She's
well,
a trip.
I remember the first time my dad, he took me to see her when I turned 16 for my birthday. It was like a dad-daughter date. And I remember thinking, oh, she's going to be so angelic and so poised. And she is when she sings. But then when she talks, I'm like, oh my God, I love her even more. She's just funny.
She's just so down to earth and fun and funny. And
yeah.
Again, like nothing like she sings like.
Right.
Any other musical influences you'd like to talk about? This show is very 90s intensive.
That's awesome. I mean, the 90s were, to me, the best. I was a huge Judds fan, if we're talking about people from Kentucky. They were huge. Vince Gill, I loved. Randy Travis, Colin Ray, Mark Chestnut, Joe Diffie.
What is it about the Judds? And tell me your favorite Judds song.
It's hard.
I know, right? it is.
I think Grandpa. Oh. I don't know. I'm really nostalgic, and so that song just really hits me. And then Mama, He's Crazy. Why Not Me? I mean, I could go on and on. Her voice. Ooh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, you know, she's evolved so much as a vocalist and,
yeah.
and changed so much stylistically. She almost doesn't sound like the same singer she started out as.
You know who I think sounds so much like her is Brandi Clark.
Yeah. You know what? I hear the same tone.
In the Judds.
Early Winona. Yes. She sounds a lot
before
like her.
Before the growl.
Yeah. And you know, I was listening to Brandi's album, the one with stripes on it,
yep.
and all of that. And that's where you really hear a lot of Winona. And I think, you know, I don't know if Winona was a huge influence on her. I just think tonally, they just were born with the same sort of
sounding that,
voice.
That yeah. young Winona.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. Your first number one was Every Little Thing. And how did that song change your life? I want to know, you know, up until that moment, you're virtually an unknown. And then all of a sudden, everybody's wanting a piece. So... Piece of Pierce.
Yeah, Piece of Pierce. That's funny.
Yes. So how did that change things?
Oh my
for
gosh.
You?
I mean, I wrote it about a broken heart. I lived that story. Never in a million years thought that it would take, you know, I'd been in Nashville for 8 years trying to figure out how to make it happen. And literally I've heard of those stories of the song that changes your life overnight. And that one took on a life of its own and changed my life overnight. And I actually got to be in Knoxville the night that it went number one in the honky tonk that I used to go see country artists when I was working at Dollywood. So I got to announce to the crowd, and it was just this moment for me, very surreal. And I don't really even feel like until it went number one that I really believed that this was happening to
That's
me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what your religious beliefs or faith might be, you know that there's a divine plan when you wind up in the bar where you used to sit and dream about
it was
that
yeah.
moment, and it's happening to you.
It was crazy.
I used to daydream about pulling my bus up to my childhood home in Medicine Hat, Alberta. You know, I'd walk to school and it was 40 below, and I would walk, you know, back to the cul-de-sac and walk in the front door and go, someday a tour bus is going to be sitting out there. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh, I love it.
I brought my tour bus to my
you
childhood
have
home. You have to do it.
You have to do it.
You
wow,
do.
That's awesome.
It's kind of just like a full circle aha moment, but it also keeps you grounded.
Yes, it does.
And reminds you of where you came from.
Yeah.
Your current hit's called Closer to You, and it's the first song from your second album that's coming out later this year. And how did you reflect, you know, where you're at in your life right now on your second record as you're writing songs and picking songs for a second album?
Mm-hmm.
How does that change what you're looking for in writing now after you've had success already?
I think the biggest thing for me is I wrote so many of the songs on my debut album 4, 5, 6 years prior to when they came out. And I listened to that album and I'm so proud of it. But I think that was a girl who was searching and trying to find herself, trying to find her place in country music, trying to get people to listen. Now I feel more settled, like country music fans are starting to wrap their arms around me. And so much has happened to me in the last 2 years. I feel more centered and more myself and just feel like it's an evolution of the girl on the first record. But she's a lot more centered and knows her place and found love and just knows who she is.
That's a lot of changes.
It's a lot.
Your life's changed
on.
A lot since you wrote the first
Yeah.
song.
I think about those songs and I'm like, oh.
You also get so much busier too after your first album. You're touring all the time and it's just hard to find time to write songs. So it's hard to find time. They say you have your whole life to write your first album and 5 minutes to write the second one.
I never understood that statement until this process. It is crazy. It's
yeah.
just crazy.
Who are your favorite songwriters to write with?
Oh my gosh. Emily Shackleton, mm-hmm. she wrote a lot on my first record with me and has a lot of things on this next one. I love Shane McAnally. I love Natalie Himby. It's funny. I write some with Hillary Lindsay, but I end up usually cutting Hillary Lindsay songs, not the ones that she and I write. So I must not be, I'm not the best with Hillary.
That happened to me when I went to write with Hillary Lindsay.
Really?
We went to write and her and Angelo played me Three Mississippi in the writing session. And I ended up cutting that, not the song that we wrote that day.
Literally, so, she and I have written and we joke. And I'm like, girl, I'll keep cutting your songs. I don't know if we'll ever get one, but hopefully we will. But I'm a huge fan of hers as well.
Amazing. You mentioned Vince Gill, I think, earlier as another 90s artist that you really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on what he means to you and some of your favorite songs?
Yes, I can.
yes, I can.
There is no one in the world that sounds like Vince Gill. No one has that tone. I'm a big tone person. And just him with an acoustic guitar, he can silence no matter what. He could silence a stadium. Whenever you come around, Pretty Little Adriana, I don't know. There were just so many songs growing up that his voice, no matter where you were, what you were doing, you knew it was Vince Gill. And I think that he's just a testament of an artist who's preserved his country music integrity in a way that I want to do.
And he's a guy that you can just go down to 3rd and Lindsley and hear play with the Time Jumpers, and he's
so
sitting up
normal.
There in his sweatpants and just does not give a crap. You know, he just is up there to play guitar. He's not
my favorite,
up there to be a big star.
My favorite Vince and Amy story is I played at the Ryman, and you know how you park in the lot across the street in the parking garage, and they looked at me and they were like, are you by yourself? I was like, yes. And we were playing together, and Amy was like, Vince and I'll walk you out. I was like, okay. And so in my head, I'm like, you have to be normal during this moment. Like, don't make eye contact too long.
Don't make eye contact.
And I got in my car and I was like, wow, I just got walked to my car by Vince Gill and Amy Grant. That's pretty cool.
Everybody around here is just a big family.
Yeah.
All real people. Well, Carly Pierce, you are on the road all year. Plus, you're back here at the Opry. And for all your dates, people can go to carlypierce.com.
Yes.
And I want to thank you so much for joining me this week for Country Gold from backstage at the Grand Ole Opry. Thanks, Carly.
Thank you for having me.
Country Gold with Terry Clark.